just milking these verses until we run out of that during this Advent season, because this is a great Advent scripture. I just got stuck on the other day after talking about the rain that would never end. It was interesting that where I was in Fort Walton, I asked the priest there, Mike Madison, like, what does people need to really hear? They said hope. You know, they just have been frightened by the whole COVID thing. And, you know, Florida and that part of Florida has been hit hard a lot. It's just been disorienting what's going on in the country and what's happened. So that wasn't the whole message, but I did reference the scripture that his kingdom, he said, would never end. And so it hasn't ended. There's not been a pause. Jesus is still reigning, no matter what the enemy's doing. But then he adds this thing, and this is a statement that's used often in the Old Testament. It's always stunned me. It's always encouraged me, and it says, he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will have no end. It's always amazed me that the Lord has so publicly identified himself with Jacob. You say, well, he does that because Jacob was the one who gave, you know, he was the father of the 12 and the tribes. And yeah, but if you remember in Genesis, God changed his name. Like he said, when he wrestled with God, he said, you'll no longer be called Jacob, you'll be called Israel, which means Prince of God. But when he references him after that, the rest of the time, he references the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Not the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And then over and over again, even though he sits on David's throne, he reigns over the house of Jacob forever. Now, I've wondered over the years, I used to wonder, why did you do that, Lord? Why did you, what? I mean, you just called reign over the house of Israel. That was the good name. It's kind of like, why does he always, when he mentions Rahab, almost always mentions, he says Rahab the harlot. Like, why do you have to add the harlot thing? Like, thanks a lot, Lord. You know? It's kind of like when I fly, most of the time in my life, especially if it's a domestic flight or those little flights, I have to get a seatbelt extension because they're just too small. So I finally bought my own seatbelt extension because it was always a little embarrassing to be halfway down the plane. And so when you walk in, you said, can I get a seatbelt extension? She said, yeah, I have a seat and I'll bring it to you. But they walked down the aisle like, seatbelt extension? Who was it that needed a seatbelt? So I said, me, the really fat guy. And so it's kind of like Rahab, the harlot. But I think it's because the Lord wants us to know that he identifies with people who struggle. He identifies with people who are made of dust. And as New Testament believers, our identity is in Christ, but Christ dwells in an earthen vessel. And we don't always get it right. We don't always walk out our new identity, and we struggle to have our mind renewed so that we can live from him. Sometimes we forget to remember to live from him and our dustness. How frail our clay pot is comes forth. And I think that's why God wants us to remind us is that he identifies with those who are clay pots that are easily broken and that don't always get it right. That's not an excuse to get it wrong. It's just that this is why it really hit me. That image when I was praying earlier, the confession, that it's not like when we blow it, there's this little place off on the side where none of the angels or the church triumphant can see that we're having to come again to be cleansed and to own our stuff. It's like, and he says, no, you're coming to the throne because you're royalty. Now, we're griping and complaining. No, God, but I'm just a Jacob. And you know, the name Jacob meant manipulator. It was his very name. And we're like, no, Lord, I'm a Jacob. And he invites us to the throne because we are royalty to him. And he rules over the house of Jacob. We're part of the house of Jacob. That's part of who we are. But he brings those of us who are of Jacob, he invites us to come before him and to own our stuff. And then the king, in front of the throne, before all the host, it's not like a little private booth. Like Jesus is not like Roman Catholic, there's a little screen between. Before the whole thing, and he gives absolution and cleansing, and then sends us forth as royalty. Once a king and queen in Narnia, always a king and queen in Narnia. That's just a dynamic reality. So that we don't ever give up because we get frustrated that, man, I acted like Jacob again. Well, he rules, or his kingdom is made up of a bunch of Jacobs who are in Christ, but who at any moment don't abide in Christ, they reveal the fact that they're Jacob. Listen to this. This is the lineage of Jesus, his ancestry that's recorded in Matthew. It's a little different loop, but I love it. To Abraham was born Isaac, and Isaac was Jacob, and to Jacob was Judah and his brothers. Now, he doesn't name all the brothers. He names Judah. Why? Because Jesus is from the tribe of what? Judah. So, he's proud of Judah. And Judah, and from Judah was born Perez and Terah by Tamar, huh? You see, Judah married a person who wasn't a Jew, but then later he had relationships with his daughter-in-law, who disguised herself as a prostitute, but that didn't matter. He went in with the prostitute, and then he had twins by his daughter-in-law, whom he thought was a prostitute. And yet, they're mentioned here. Tamar, who disguised herself as a prostitute, had sex with her father-in-law, and the father-in-law, who didn't care if he was a prostitute, and had sex with his daughter-in-law. And then from Perez was born Hezron. To Hezron was Ram, and to Ram was born Abinadab, and to Abinadab was Nashon, and to Nashon was Salmon, and to Salmon was born Boaz by Rahab, the prostitute. Because Rahab, as you know, was Boaz's mom. And to Boaz was born Obed, and to Obed was Ruth, which was, of course, a Moabitess. And to Obed was Jesse, and to Jesse was born David the king, and to David was born Solomon, and it won't even mention Bathsheba's name, but by her, who had been the wife of Uriah. That's a mess, and that's how the thing starts out. Child of Bathsheba, Uriah, who David had killed, Rahab the prostitute, Ruth the Moabitess, Tamar, the daughter-in-law, who disguises a prostitute, and the Lion of Judah, the tribe from which Jesus comes from. The King of Kings and Lord of Lords, let me introduce you to my family. It's pretty dysfunctional. Jesus, who reigns over the house of Judah forever, reigns over the house of Jacob forever. Jesus, from the Lion, who is the Lion of Judah. Aren't you grateful that he's comfortable with Jacob's? And he looks at Jacob's and says, you're a new creation in Christ. You're a king and queen in Narnia, and you always will be. That's why even when you're confessing your junk, you do it at the throne, and you always go forth from the throne every time. You didn't get rejected. You're now sent forth again because he believes in you, even though he's not shocked that we're a Jacob or a Tamar or a Judah or a Rahab or a Ruth or her. He didn't even mention her name, bless her heart, Bathsheba. So the Lord saves a bunch of misfits who become new creations in Christ. And he's going to reign that kingdom made up of misfits forever. Everybody out there who doesn't know Christ, no matter where they've been, no matter what they've done, they're a Jacob, and they're welcome to be part of the kingdom of Jacobs, over whom Jesus will reign forever. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.